KFI AM 640's Conway Show. I got a few emails and a text saying, why does that Kathy Lee Gifford song bother you so much? I know you've played it in the past. And I'll tell you why. We played a song that Kathy Lee wrote for this kid who has autism. And this baseball star, this stud of the school, went over and befriended him and like pulled him out of his Asperger's or autism and, you know, taught him how to socialize and, you know, get out there and that life is, you know, worth living and you can overcome, you know, handicaps like that. But the reason why it bothers me so is that Kathy Lee doesn't understand one of life's little tiny rules. And one of them is that when you have a person who has a handicap and then he's befriended by another person who is a football star or baseball star, the song has to be about what the football or baseball star learned from that kid, not what that kid learned from the baseball star. You know, the baseball star is the hero, the stud of the school. You can't then also do a song saying, oh, not only is he stud of the baseball team, but he also hangs out with kids who are less desirable, right? And then drag that kid onto a national TV. The song has to be about what that baseball star learned from that kid, right? Like Down and Out in Beverly Hills, every major motion picture that features somebody with some kind of handicap or some kind of, you know, disfigurement or whatever, the story is never about, you know, whoever saved that kid and how great that person was and that person needs some more praise. You know, it's about, like in Down and Out in Beverly Hills, it's a wealthy family that took on a homeless guy and how much the wealthy family learned from a homeless guy. It's not, Beverly Hills, Down and Out in Beverly Hills is not a wealthy family takes on a homeless guy and then the wealthy family realizes how much greater they are than they were before because they took on a homeless guy. America is not that. America doesn't go that direction. It doesn't make sense. You don't take a billionaire and say, oh, look, he saved this kid's school. Look what else he did, right? You want to, if a billionaire like saves a school, you want to look at what the billionaire learned from those kids who had nothing and what those kids who had nothing taught the guy who has $1 billion, not vice versa, not what, the billionaire saved the school. Oh, and now look how great the billionaire is and what he taught those kids. It doesn't make sense. But she doesn't get that, right? She plays this horrible, horrible song and exploits this kid. And then when the kid says he doesn't like the song, they just laugh at him, right? I'm right about this, right? I don't have to go into any more explanation. I just know I'm right, especially when you hear this kid when they ask him how this kid felt about the song, and he gives a total natural reaction.
Yeah, it was a little too sad.
Well, David. By the way, when you have autism or Asperger's, those laughs sound like a billion people laughing. You know, it's not like just the 9 people on the couch. It sounds like the whole world's laughing at you.
Yeah, it was a little too sad. Well, David can yeah, you know, hey, yeah. All alone.
All alone, total loser. Oh, sorry, Kathy. You missed it again. All right, you keep missing it over and over and over. All right, during the break, I was trying to figure out, it's another topic, by the way, what my favorite Joel Walsh song. Were you playing Joel Walsh in there during the break? I was trying to figure out what my favorite Joel Walsh song was. And he's got 4 that are in contention. 1 is The Ordinary Average Guy.
Oh. Interesting choice.
That's 1.
I'm just an ordinary average guy. My friends are boring, and so am I. We're just ordinary average guys.
Great song. Maybe Kathy Lee can learn something from it.
We all lead ordinary, average lives with average kids and average wives. We all go bowling at the bowling lane. Drink a few beers, bowl a few frames.
All right, that's a great song. It's called Ordinary Average Guy. That's one of Joel Walsh. There's four in contention. And the next one is In the City.
Somewhere out on that horizon.
Great song. Okay, that's In the City. That's number two.
Yeah.
Number three, and this is a huge, I think this one has a huge advantage over those two, is this one's called Rocky Mountain Way. Great song, but I think Joe Walsh's number one tune.
Come on,
has got to
Don't
be.
Screw it up.
Has got to be. Life's Been Good.
All
it's
right.
Got to be.
All right.
Come on, Crush.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's top good. Five.
Let's crank this up. It's Conway Show. Man, I'm just looking at that hit rescue outside of Newport with those people that where that boat sank. That's unbelievable. Oh, let's crank this up. This is a great song, too.
We're gonna find out pretty
Crozier never gets any attention. I never hear it played anywhere. It's one of the great songs of all time.
Funk number 49?
No.
Waffle Stomp?
No, not at all. See if you can guess this song.
How long? Stevie Nicks.
No, Stevie Nicks.
It's not Stevie Nicks. I mean, it is, but it's not.
Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, that whatever. Fleetwood Mac never gets enough play.
I never hear this song anywhere. Come on, Belly-O, knock this out.
Please stop dragging my heart around. I'll sing that one.
Oh, really?
It's Tom Petty.
Is that Petty?
Love.
All right, you're right, Betty. All right, Belly, you ready?
Oh, I love
this. Here we go. You know all the lyrics? Here we go. Sharon Belly-O and Tom Petty back together again. No, Stevie Nicks, right?
I wish.
She's doing her mom dance. Got her paws up.
She's got all that lace going on right now.
Maybe you come knocking on my front door. Same old line you used to use before.
Belly-O!
I said, yeah, well, what am I supposed to do?
Let's go!
I didn't know what I was getting into. So you had a little trouble in town. Now you're keeping some demon down.
This is the best part.
Part where she doesn't sing?
When you're not singing?
It's hard to think about what you wanted. It's hard to think about what you've lost. This doesn't have to be the big get even. This doesn't have to be anything at all.
Yes!
She tailed out there. What happened to her?
Belly-O!
Did she fall down?
Is that not one of the best songs?
Oh, man. And for people unfamiliar with this program, every Monday at 9:20, Belly-O hits a hit. Happens to be Stevie Nicks tonight. Stop dragging my heart around.
She hits a hit?
Tune in next Monday. Belly-O hits a hit. We're live on KFI. The station plays all your hits on the big talker here. Also, the big music box. KFI AM 640. It's Conway Show. More now with Croz. KFI AM 640. Conway Show. Yeah, Ding Dong. Ding Dong. I got some more news to get into here, right, before we get the hell out of here. Can you believe it was 26 years ago that the Oklahoma bombing happened? 26 years ago. Younger people out there may not remember. It was a horrible, horrible day.
Well, today marks...
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me print something down here. Hold on. Listen to Tom Petty during that break here. All right. The Oklahoma bombing, the federal building in Oklahoma, was just a horrible, horrible day. I think it was 161 people were killed.
Well, today marks the 26 years since Oklahoma City bombing, wow, in which it killed 168 people, many of them young children who were at a daycare inside the Murrah Federal Building. Last year's remembrance was almost entirely remote because of the pandemic. This year, it was more of a hybrid ceremony with survivors, first responders, and families of the victims attending in person. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, who supervised the investigation into the bombing, was also there today.
Although many years have passed, the terror perpetrated by people like Timothy McVeigh is still with us.
It was Garland who oversaw the prosecution of McVeigh, who was ultimately executed.
Yeah. All right. Then we also have that Mars helicopter that took off. I mean, look, the United States is not only on another planet, but we're flying spacecraft around on the planet. That's incredible. I mean, the kind of organization and the planning and the ingenuity that has to go into this is totally off the charts. And I can't believe it's not, you know, breaking news. This should be breaking news, you know, not, a car chase or, somebody, breaking into a car dealership and stealing a bunch of crap. This should be breaking news when this happened today.
History made tonight, way up there. The first controlled flight of an aircraft on another planet. The helicopter NASA calls Ingenuity, sending back new images of Mars. Now, Shannon Sohn, not chosen to fly this mission, but we did choose Chief Meteorologist Lee Goldberg to explain what this means and why it's so important. Lee?
It's incredible. We were nervous because of the software upgrade, but it made it and success today. So Neil Armstrong said it best, and it still means so much today. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Now, Ingenuity.
Yeah, well, he didn't actually get that saying right, but you did.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Now, Ingenuity.
He screwed that up when he got on, when he first stepped onto the moon. He said one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. And they're like, ugh. All we had to do is get that right. It's not one small step for a man.
He missed a letter.
But it has a whole new meaning when he put that letter in.
Completely.
back at Houston, they're like, oh, my God. Guy blew it. He had one shot at being the first guy on the moon and delivering the most impactful statement ever, and he blew it.
One small step for man, one giant leap.
I like how they cleared it up for him. You know, they just said, oh, yeah, like he said when he landed on the moon. When Neil Armstrong, you know, he landed on the moon. He didn't say it. He screwed it up.
Success today. So Neil Armstrong said it best, and it still means so much today. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Now, Ingenuity may be small, but today's accomplishment is gigantic for the space exploration.
It is huge.
After liftoff, NASA ground controllers had to wait nearly an excruciating 3 hours for their data to arrive from 170 million miles away. This was their reaction.
Altimeter data confirmed that Ingenuity has performed its first flight, the first flight of a powered aircraft to another planet.
Experimental helicopter Ingenuity is the first powered flight by an aircraft on another planet. This video, captured by rover Perseverance, showing the chopper's brief hop off the ground, 39 seconds, 10 feet up. And Ingenuity's first image, this black and white photo, shot while hovering over the Martian surface.
Wow. Thing's got a camera on it, right? We're flying spacecraft on different planets.
This morning, our dream came true.
Man. This really is.
Hold on.
This morning, our dream came true.
Uh-oh. Her one opportunity to stop farting while she's announcing spacecraft flying on another planet.
This morning, our dream came true.
This really is a Wright Brothers moment. It's the start of a whole new kind of planetary exploration.
Yeah.
Ingenuity weighs only 4 pounds and hitched a ride to Mars on the rover Perseverance in February. The $85 million helicopter demo was considered high risk but high reward. Future helicopters could serve as otherworldly scouts for rovers and eventually astronauts in difficult, dangerous places.
Beyond this first flight, over the next coming days, we have up to 4 flights planned and increasingly difficult flights, challenging flights, and we are going to continually push all the way to the limit of this rotorcraft.
Going higher, going further, stretching the capabilities of the helicopter in those ways.
What a thrill. Now, a normal helicopter on Earth has RPM of about 450 to 500. When you look at this, because the atmosphere at Mars is 1% of what Earth's is, it has to go 2,500 RPM. So it's an incredible design.
And somebody figured that out too, right? Like, you know, they realized that not only are we going to send an aircraft up there to fly around Mars, but we have to compensate for the lack of atmosphere. And some bookworm figure that out.
So the team plans to test the helicopter's limits, possibly even wreck it and leave it there forever after its data reaches home base. Until then, Perseverance will keep watch over Ingenuity, who flight engineers affectionately call Percy and Ginny. Bill?
You know, your passion is just so palpable. It's really exciting to see, and you've made us excited about it as well. So
thanks,
thank you for the explanation.
There you go. All right, everybody wins. That is, it really is incredible, though. All right. We have bad news here. Scottie Pippen's son died. He's got to be no more than his 20s, then maybe?
Bulls great Scottie Pippen is mourning a devastating loss.
Man.
Today he tweeted this, quote, "I'm heartbroken to share that yesterday I said goodbye to my firstborn son, Antron. Two of us shared a love for basketball. We had countless conversations about the game." Pippen says Antron had suffered from chronic asthma, but did not say that's what caused his death. He was only 33 years old.
Those are beautiful pictures that he shared.
Wow, Scottie Pippen is a 33-year-old kid. That's unbelievable. That's incredible. I thought he'd have like, 10-year-old, 15-year-old. Scottie Pippen, wow, 33-year-old kid. That's unreal. LAUSD also announces that there is a fake Twitter account out there. It's misleading a lot of students, faculty, teachers, the whole run.
Well, a Twitter account claiming to be from LAUSD Superintendent Austin Buettner is a fake, and it uses inappropriate language to talk about sending kids to student jail and discusses parents who disagree with his policies, among other things. The district has put out a statement saying this fake account makes offensive, damaging, and false statements that were never made by the superintendent. Statements are highly inflammatory and disparaging to the school reopening and community relief efforts by Los Angeles Unified during the pandemic. The district says this is a crime, and it has since notified law enforcement and Twitter.
Yeah, those things are either a crime, or B, somebody opened up an account that's real and they got drunk and they spewed the real truth. And then the next day, like, oh, Christ, we got to clean this up. We got to, this is bad, man.
What did he say?
Yeah. Well, what do we do? Fake account, stolen.
It's like the default, yeah. Someone hacked my account.
Yeah, let's go that whole run. Yeah, fake account, hacked, stolen. Yeah, let's go that way. All right, we're going to check with George Norrie next. He's coming up next on his big program. We're live on KFI AM 640. More now with Crouch. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. George Norrie's coming up next. George, it's on that big show tonight, bub. What do you got working?
Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you, bub?
Okay, first couple hours, noted author Whitley Strieber, who wrote the book about strange aliens, is going to join us to talk about his latest work. And then later on, we're going to talk about miracles and dreams on Coast to Coast.
Cool. I'll be there.
See ya.
All right, there he goes. George Norrie and Coast to Coast. Oh, man. Hey, you remember when this whole pandemic started? And we're supposed to take 2 weeks off, right? We're supposed to take 2 weeks to flatten the curve, or they sold the 2 weeks to us as there was something. It wasn't flatten the curve. It was stop the spread. I think it was stop the spread. And everyone thought, okay, 2 weeks off. I think Seattle did it first. Everyone was going to take 2 weeks off, and then literally, you'd walk around your hometown or drive around your hometown and nobody was out. I remember in Burbank, it looked like back in the 1970s when it was Christmas morning. There was nobody on the. You would literally walk in the middle of Olive Avenue from Buena Vista all the way to Victory and not see a single car. It was so eerie. And now we're sort of all back, right? Everybody understands, who's affected by this COVID, who's not. And I think we're all a big sigh of relief that we now know, what to do and what not to do. So congratulations, right? We all went through sort of a living hell. A lot of people had it much worse. But a lot of people, followed the rules, wear the mask, get the vaccine. And it looks like the end is coming up, knock on wood. Hopefully, right? Hopefully that, we're done with this crap because we cannot go into another lockdown. They're suggesting another lockdown for Michigan, if you can believe that. They're suggesting that everybody takes the next month and locks down in Michigan. They're going to have a hell of a huge problem with that because people are just going to say, F it. Even if I die, people are going to rather move around, eat at restaurants, go out and enjoy friends, go to family functions because they've had it. There'll be no more lockdowns for most Americans. We just can't do it. We tried it. We did okay for the first year, but we're not doing it anymore. We can't do it. Physically, emotionally, we're not there anymore. right? We're ready to spring. Spring is here. Ready to get out, enjoy ourselves, get back to ball games, get out to movie theaters, get to restaurants, go to the beach, you know, go swimming, whatever. But we're not going back to these horrible lockdowns. And as a matter of fact, if there's another pandemic after this, it's going to be very, very tough to get everybody locked down. Extremely tough. Because people just say, screw it. I ain't going. I can die, but I'm not going. I'd rather die at the beach than inside my house. A lot of people are going to be saying that. A lot of people. All right. I don't know if you know this, but makeup. I don't know if you know this, Bellio. Makeup expires and has germs if it gets old.
Why are you telling Sharon?
Well, because I think that Sharon is probably like my wife, where you buy makeup like every 40 years, right? You don't wear that much, so you don't really buy that much.
I do have a personal story I'd like to share.
Oh, you do? Wow.
Standing by for excitement.
Here we go. I love her makeup stories.
My lower eyelid was like hurting really bad.
Like you had a sty?
Yeah, so I assume I've got a sty, correct?
Right.
So I told Michelle Cube, and she said, throw away all your makeup, wash it out, and then don't wear makeup for a few days. But
really?
Throw away all your old makeup.
Because, really?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I do that. My eyes are still bothering me. So I pull it down. This is kind of gross, but it was this big, it was on the inside, which has another name to it. I forget what it's called.
It's called gross.
It was troubling. Like I called the clinic and went over right
really?
Away and got drops. Yeah. And I cleaned out all my old makeup.
Because you
it's
thought
a thing.
Because it gets contaminated?
Yeah, you don't realize it. And it's not that, it wasn't that old, but it, I don't know.
Let's find out. Here we go.
Dr. Masick says any eye makeup like mascara or liner should be replaced after 3 months.
What?
Liquid blushes, concealers, or foundations throw out after a year. Anything that's a pencil for your lips, brows, or eyelids can stay around for a year as well.
I think this is put together by a makeup company.
Lipsticks and lip glosses are good for 1 to 2 years. Not only can expired products not work as well, but can also harbor potentially harmful germs.
The downsides to those kinds of contaminations, which are generally things like skin infections, skin irritation, certainly eye infections, conjunctivitis, styes, those things can all arise from contaminated and or expired makeup.
If you notice your makeup is drying out, don't put water or saliva on it.
Who does that?
Sorry, what?
It's been done.
You mean if you have your makeup's drying out, you just spit in it?
If you need something to get it more liquidy.
Well, yeah, you wonder why your eyes bothering you.
Well, I don't do that, but I
Oh. Right into the eyeshadow.
Some of this makeup apparently needs to be changed more frequently than underwear.
I know, man. Oh man. Guys with this gruesome makeup.
If you notice your makeup is drying out, don't put water or saliva on it.
That actually introduces even more bacteria that you're then going to be spreading on your face.
So if you're spring cleaning, you might want to include your makeup bag.
Yeah, but makeup is expensive nowadays, isn't it?
Very expensive. It can be, yeah. Kalesian. Have you heard the word Kalesian?
No.
That's the sty on the inside of your eyelid, a Kalesian.
Ooh. Is that what you had?
Yeah.
Or you have?
I had. It's gone. I'm good.
Thank God.
It's not contagious.
Yeah, styes are contagious. Like pink eye and styes. I think they are contagious.
I'm going to research this.
Yeah. Right, watch. The first thing
that just came out of your mouth.
First thing that comes up is stay the hell away from everybody. Sty is very contagious.
I'm Mandy Gaither.
Well, Dr. Masick also says it's important to store your makeup in a cool, dry place properly.
Oh, screw it.
A Kalesian is not contagious, and it is due to the inflammation from the blockage of the oil gland itself.
All right, what about styes? Are they contagious?
Is just on the outside.
And clean those brushes and sponges. Also, don't ever share your makeup with anyone because you might be sharing those germs as well.
God.
No, it's not. A sty is not contagious.
Pink eye?
Pink eye is very contagious. Yes.
All right, well, you got pink eye.
No, I didn't.
All right, I don't want to get it. I got to get out of here. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640. Get out! Ow, with that pink eye.
Like a butterfly.